Golden Knights having great success so far this year. Does that put any pressure on you guys to succeed in this
game? Who are the Golden Knights? only pressure is that the sniping of people saying you got to do as good as them.
It's just good. Vegas is treating us well, and I think the record doesn't show how hard that we work, and it's tough in that way, but it's good for us in the inner circle to understand what we have going on in Vegas, and if we just continue to trust and believe in each other, the sky's the limit for this team, and I'm blessed to be a part of it.
Our expectations maybe at the start of the season were a little unrealistic.
Man, we're not even worried about the playoffs right now. What we do is we take it week by week. We gotta worry about next week. You start looking ahead and you start looking over people, you might not even make it. So
that being said, to me, Urban Meyer is one of the lowest pieces of garbage there is on this earth.
You are tuned in to Straight Bet Sports live on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network.
That's right, man. We are live and I am on the clock. If you guys know what I'm talking about and you guys are following the fantasy draft we're doing right now, we're on the Sosa World League. About 43 seconds before I can get my second pick in. So far, I got CeeDee Lamb that I've taken. Should I take a running back? Should I take a receiver? Should I take a quarterback? It's too early for a quarterback. Let's see, guys. Hopefully, you guys are doing well, by the way. You know what? Let's go ahead and take Alvin. Let's go. Let's take a shot with that. So, second pick of my draft, I got Alvin Kamara. So far, I got CeeDee Lamb, Alvin Kamara. What's going on, everybody? Jose V, Straight Bet Sports. You are tuned in live here on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. We are coming to you live from downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. Thank you so much for joining and tapping in today on this lovely Wednesday afternoon, a little bit past 4 p.m. Got my co-host in the building, EMB.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You're going to have to be helping me out today, man. My sinuses are killing me. I probably sound a little stuffed up and
you
sneezing
take that
and stuff.
Like, I told you.
I took a lot of stuff, man. I don't know what else I got to take to get this done with, man. But this is pretty fun. And it's kind of hard and confusing at the same time because we have a freaking fantasy draft that we're doing right now. I already did one on Sunday, doing another one right now. But big shout out to Quan59 as well behind the big board doing what he does for us every single week here on Gorilla Cross Radio. We are tuned in live on all Gorilla Cross Radio platforms. YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. Just search Gorilla Cross. We'll be on there streaming live. I'm going to do and ask what I do every single week, right, Ian? Press that like, drop that comment. No, that comment. I'm telling you, I'm all messed up today. Drop that comment. Press that share button and we'll go from there, guys. We greatly appreciate you for joining us here on this lovely Wednesday afternoon. Now, it is our NFL preview show. NFL season kicks off tomorrow. Buffalo Bills on the road, taking on the Los Angeles Rams, defending Super Bowl champions. But before we do so, I got to give a big shout out to the Las Vegas Aces. Huge win yesterday. Game 4 of the semifinals, they take down the Seattle Storm and Sue Bird, ending her career. It's been a great one, man. GOAT, 20 years. Going to go down as one of the probably best point guards, they said, ever. Not the greatest on defense, but greatest offensively and overall player she was. And she even said that last night in the press conference. If she played now, didn't have to play much defense and just play offense, she'd probably be doing a lot better if she was 20 years younger. But again, the Aces take down the Seattle Storm. Moving on to the WNBA Finals. The last time they were in the WNBA Finals was in the bubble. No fans allowed. This time it's different. They will have fans. Also, last time they were in the bubble, Asia Wilson won the MVP, if I do have that correct, when they went to the finals. We're back at it again this year. She just got announced today as a WNBA MVP, two-time WNBA MVP now. Las Vegas Aces awaiting.
I got a problem with this real quick.
What's up?
They waited till after the finals were semifinals were over against the two top MVP candidates to announce the MVP winner. Yeah. If Seattle would have won, it would have been Breonna Stewart 100%. Which I'm fine with. I think it should be for a whole entire season anyways, including playoffs. Yep. I think it, but it's not. It's supposed to be regular season. So they waited until after this series was over to finally announce it. A little weird to me.
I agree with you. Quan took the words out of my mouth. I was thinking about the exact same thing when I got the message and I saw the notification that she had won. I'm like, what a coincidence. The day after that they win the series and move on, she's the MVP. But very well deserved. She deserves it. Obviously, she had a great season, carried the team on her back. After she has a game, once again, I'm going to say it, where she scores less than 10 points. She's averaging 25 points. I think she averaged 30 points after game one in game 2, 3, and 4 in this series, which was amazing. She basically showed everybody what she's all about. So did the Aces. Moving on, first-year coach. I'm excited. Hopefully, they can finally be the first professional team, big professional team, to bring a championship here to Las Vegas. Crazy thing, though, NBA Finals start on Sunday at 3 p.m. during NFL Week 1 kickoff, which is interesting. But big ups to the Las Vegas Aces, the hometown team, and Asia Wilson for moving on and for getting that MVP this year. Congratulations. It's been an honor to follow and cover you guys this season. I hope you get the chip. We will be there covering the WNBA Finals as well, so please keep us active, notifications on, so you can see everything going on with the WNBA Finals. We're going to try to give you as much coverage as possible. Me and Evan will be down there doing as much as we can during the festivities, so please go ahead and follow us with that. Once again, you are tuning to Straight Bet Sports live here on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. I am Jose V, Ian B, Quan 5'9" in the studio. Jay Madrazo's taking the week off today like I did last week. Appreciate you, Brett, and Chris holding it down, man. You guys did an amazing job. As always, when I'm not here, I greatly appreciate you guys doing that. But we got to talk some football.
Yes,
but before
sir.
We do so, because at the end of the show, you and I are going to start our weekly bets, our weekly picks that we're going to give out. This week, to make it fair, we're going to start off with the Thursday night game, which we're going to give you guys at the end of the show. But big up to our guy, Eric Navarro, jump back on with us. He decided he wanted to sponsor that segment. He's like, I want to jump back in with you guys. Let's do it. Let's get it done. I see you just took Michael Pittman there, the wide receiver from Indiana. Yes. I'm on the clock right now, so we'll see what I'm going to choose. But big ups to Eric Navarro of Line Them Up by Eric for sponsoring our NFL pick segment at the end of the show, which we will have here shortly once we finish up everything NFL related today. I'm on the clock, guys. I don't know what I should do right now. I already have a running back. I got a receiver. I got a spam phone call that's coming in at the same exact time. I don't know if I should. Ooh, man, I got Cam Akers or George Kittle. I already know what Quan's going to say. Take George Kittle.
You should. And that's because I'm in the same league with you.
And that's what I just did. Moving on. So
Kittle just came out with a groin injury
it's
today.
Okay. It's okay. So. Don't worry about it. Anyways.
He's already hurt.
He'll be fine. Okay. He's going to be the main receiver on that team next to Deebo. We already know that. But anyways, moving on. NFL starts tomorrow.
Yeah.
Big game with a quarterback that sounds like Tommy John's going to be happening here pretty soon. Obviously, Buffalo Bills coming in after going 11-6 in their division last year, barely getting over the Patriots, which the Patriots led that division most of the year with the rookie quarterback, which was fun and interesting to watch, seeing that they had the emergence of a rookie quarterback and not having Tom Brady in there anymore. But that was very, very interesting to see there. Now, we got a lot to talk about with these divisions. I know you have a spreadsheet and you have a bunch of crazy stuff
hey,
going
I'm
on there.
I'm on vacation, so I got a lot of time on
but,
my hands.
But let's start off with the NFC.
All right.
And let's start off with your division.
Okay.
Okay. Now, last year we had the Cowboys going 12-5, Eagles 9-8, Commanders 7-10, Giants 4-13, right?
Yes.
I don't see much of that changing, if I'm being honest with you. I think the Cowboys still win the division. You and I were having this conversation outside. And it's not to go against you or anything like that. I just feel that they have the better team overall, and I think they have the better coach overall. Now, I know acquisitions, moves, things that they did for the team, the Eagles probably did more of that than anyone in this division. But I think people are sleeping on the Commanders as well. I think if Carson Wentz does stay healthy, which is the big question mark, can he stay healthy? Can he lead this team? Defensively, if Chase Young can have a bounce back season after not having such a great one last year, this team can be pretty scary. And I don't think anyone's giving them credit or talking about them. But at the end of the day, I think it's the Cowboys or nothing. I think that they do win the division. Even though they're starting off against Tampa Bay, which is a tough way to start off the season, Tampa Bay is not all the way there yet either. What are your thoughts on the NFC East?
So my thoughts on the NFC East is, it's going to sound like homerish, but I went
through. Thanks for telling me I was up next on the pick. And I freaking auto-picked T. Higgins.
Sorry. I went through the entire everyone's schedule, and I have the Eagles going 13-4. It's not necessarily, it is a lot to do with the roster and the improvements they made, but it also has a lot to do with the actual matchups that they're going against outside of their division. The Cowboys have kind of a brutal schedule outside of their division. They play the Bucks, the Bengals, the Rams, the Lions, the Vikings, the Packers. So they have a brutal schedule outside of the division. I have them going 7-10, Commanders 6-11, and then I have the Giants having a really bad year going 3-14.
Yeah, I got the Giants at the very bottom. So you got Eagles, Cowboys, Commanders, Giants?
Yep.
Okay, cool. So you have... Okay, perfect. So we're off of there, but that's good. We're going to get all this written down and done after the show because I want to do it right. Because last time we did this, I didn't save any of this. I didn't even go back to look at the previous show. So after tonight's show, I will be getting all this written down so we can talk about it as the season is ending, as we're getting towards the end to see where we're at on our predictions. So you have the Eagles winning it. I have the Cowboys. But we do agree on one thing. The Giants will be the bottom feeding team of the NFC East. Moving on to the NFC West, which is the division that I know Quan's going to be very, very interested in as well. We got the defending champ, Los Angeles Rams, 12-5 last year. Cardinals 11-6. Niners 10-7. And the Seahawks 7-10 last year. Obviously, a lot of different moves here. Yeah. Different quarterbacks in two different spots, right? The Niners finally moving on with Trey, but yet kept Jimmy, which was a very interesting move there for them to do that, to say the least. And then now Seattle trying to figure out whether is Geno going to be the guy to step up and finally be the leader here, or is Drew Lock finally going to show some type of spark or flash of what people thought he could have been coming out of Missouri in college, right? I was one of those big guys that was on him. I thought he was going to be a not great, but a good quarterback, if not probably the best quarterback from that class. I have been wrong on that, but it is what it is. This division, I think it all comes down to the production and the emergence of Trey Lance. Call me crazy, because I think that the Rams are in a situation right now with Matthew Stafford, the whole elbow thing, yeah. Possible Tommy John. I'm not there, Ian. I'm not on the field. I'm not reporting this team. But from videos that I saw from training camp, from the last couple of days from practice, every time he throws that ball, he's taking care of that elbow, and it does not look good. And we've seen him before. He can get injured, and he's a warrior. He's a strong man. He can go out there and continue to play. We know that. But is this cause for concern in LA? I would say yes. I don't know how you feel about that, but I would say yes. If I'm breaking it down and giving you overall how I think this division ends, I don't think the Rams repeat. I think that they still make the playoffs. I don't think they win this division. I think this year the division is going to be between the Niners and the Cardinals. I honestly think that'll be the battle there of 1-2. I think Kyler Murray is going to grow a lot more this year than he did last year, but also we need him to stay healthy. Is DeAndre Hopkins still going to be the same old DeAndre Hopkins from the past?
Yeah.
Can that running game continue with Connor? What are they going to do on the defensive side of the ball? So there's still a lot of questions there. As where the Niners, they're a team that's set with plug and play, and they got Lance there now. That's their quarterback. They know what they're going to do. So I think, call me crazy, I have the Niners winning the division. Close second, I have the Cardinals. Rams coming in third. Seahawks will be at the very bottom. And I think that this division, as crazy as it is because of the way the wild cards are now, can possibly have three teams in the playoffs. But it's yet to be seen.
So this is where we majorly differ. I don't know too much about the Stafford situation because, again, we're not actually on the field. We don't actually see him throw. We will see tomorrow night, Bills versus Rams, we'll see a little bit more of that. Whether or not that elbow is really hurting Stafford enough where it's a major cause for concern. So taking that out of the equation, I do have the Rams winning the division at 13-4. I have the 49ers making the wild card spot at 12-5. But I see a major regression from the teams, Cardinals and the Seahawks. I actually, one-on-one matchups and roster versus roster, if you look at the Seahawks, they have a very, very, very brutal schedule, and I just don't believe in Geno at all or Drew Lock. And they don't really have a running game because Chris Carson retired, as well as Kenneth Walker just had hernia surgery. So he's not even active for week one. So I have the Seahawks possibly going to 0-17.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Not even giving them a chance of breath there.
I tried. But looking at the rosters, I just couldn't. And then I have the Cardinals having major regression and Kyler Murray continually struggling. And 5-12. I have them major regression from cards.
Okay. NFC South. Or wait, Quan. Any thoughts? No? Niners win it all? Quan Thomas?
I didn't. I don't even know why you guys are talking about all this.
He's like, yeah.
I already know the end of this story.
You already know the way it ends? All right. Cool. So moving on, NFC North, obviously. Let's move on to that division. Got the Green Bay Packers 13-4 last year. Vikings 8-9. No more 8-8s, which I love that. No more finishing at 500. You either win or you don't. Bears 6-11. Lions 3-13. Now, the Lions are a sneaky team because we were talking about it earlier. I don't have the exact number, but they were one of two teams that lost a lot of 1-3 point games. Very close games. Now, I just think that this team is very overhyped going into the season. I'm sorry, C-Win. I know you're listening to us and you're watching the show right now, and you're going to say that I'm crazy, but I think the Lions are overhyped. Not even that. Their win total has gone up substantially since Hard Knocks came out. So I think that the fact that people are looking at a TV show and looking at a soap opera And they're just getting excited over a team that, let's be real, hasn't done anything. I don't believe in Jared Goff, even though I know, yes, he went to the Super Bowl already. But remember, any quarterback can go to the Super Bowl with a good defense. That's what the Rams had the year they went to the Super Bowl. It wasn't offense that got them there, if we're being honest. That's like when Trent Dilfer won the Super Bowl with the Ravens. It was the Super Bowl that got him there and won him the Super Bowl, right? Now, I still think that the Packers are the cream of the crop in this division. I think that Devontae Adams leaving and coming here to Vegas and going to the Raiders is not going to affect Aaron Rodgers whatsoever. I think Alan Lazard is going to have a huge season this year. I think he will be the number one receiver.
Injured. Huh? He's injured.
I still think he's going to have a huge season. He's going to be the number one guy there eventually. I still think that he will be the number one guy because he's the only vet that knows that offense.
You're on the clock, right?
All right, man. Let's see. So, damn, somebody took Cam Akers.
That being said, so I actually think I don't think that Green Bay is going to regress mightily, but I do think that the Vikings are better than people think. And this is the reason why. If you actually look at last year, I think they had a +1 point differential, even though they had a losing record, right? And that rarely ever happens. They lost a lot of games by 1 point, a couple points here and there, right? So I think that some of the offseason moves that they made, bringing Za'Darius Smith, and they got a little bit shored up on the offensive line a little bit. I think that with O'Connell as well, the Rams' old OC, that you're going to see a lot more usage of Jefferson in a lot of motions. And I think that's going to work out in their favor. So I like the Vikings. I have them going 13-4. Green Bay, I have making a wild card spot at 12-5. I have Detroit at 8-9. I think that the additions they made, as well as the culture that Dan Campbell brings, is going to boost their win.
Wait, who total. Do you have on top again?
I have Vikings.
Okay.
And then I have Green Bay. But I do have Detroit almost having a winning season. I have them at 8 wins. And then I have the Bears. Again, they have no offensive line. They had a really bad offensive line last year, and they lost their best player, which was Jason Pierce. So they don't really – they lost Allen Robinson. I just don't see a way for them to be better than they were last year, and they were abysmal last year. I think Justin Fields will do what he can, but I don't think it will be enough, and I have them going 1-16.
So I just drafted Aaron Rodgers as my starting quarterback. That was the only guy that I can see that was left that made any sense. We got Dak, Stafford, Lance. No disrespect to the young kid, but I can't take him just yet. Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins, Justin Fields. I think I'll stick with him. Not a bad pick. You're on the clock now, Ian, as it is. But you got the Vikings, Packers, Lions, and then the Bears dead last. I agree with the Bears being dead last. I don't think that the Bears did much to protect or help the growth and the production of Justin Fields during this offseason or in this draft, if I'm being 100% honest with you. I think they still finish at the bottom. I still think they can win 4, maybe 5 games, but I think they'll be at the bottom there. I think the Vikings and the Packers will fight for this division. I think it'll be a lot tougher than people think. I agree with C win. And not that Minnesota wins a division, but I think that Minnesota can win the division. I think they will be there. I don't think Green Bay just runs away with it like they did last year. I don't think it's going to be that type of season because you still have change in Green Bay. At the end of the day, there's still change. There's still adjustments that need to be made. And it's yet to be seen how the season will pan out. But I still have the Packers winning. So give me the Packers, Vikings, Lions, Bears. And I think the Lions win 5 games this year. I'll give them 5. I think the Lions and the Bears both win 5 games this year, and I'll leave it at that. I see you took Rashad Bateman. Okay. A.J. Dillon taken right after you. Now we're We're doing good on time. We're about 21 minutes in, and we're already at the end of the NFC. We got the NFC North coming up now. Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Bucks, 13-4 last year. Saints 9-8. I'm sorry, NFC South. Saints 9-8. Falcons 7-10. Panthers 5-12. This is an interesting division because you have a Carolina team which has a quarterback that's trying to resurrect his career, and he's only been in the league, what, 5, 6 years?
I think this is right? Going into his 5th year right now.
See, still very young, not even a veteran if you think about it. Still a very young quarterback. We have another guy in Atlanta that also is getting a second opportunity to resurrect his career, and they're giving him weapons too. So it's not like a guy that's just going to a team that has to rebuild and do everything. He has weapons there, right? We know what they're doing there. We have a Saints team that has a quarterback in Jameis Winston that is still trying to resurrect his career, be that guy. He showed flashes last year. before he got hurt and everything else happened, right? I know I've always been harsh on him. I know I've always said he's not a great quarterback. He should be a backup. I hope he succeeds this year. I really do. Because you don't want to see guys that are going out there working hard, doing everything right, because he's trying to get everything right and stay away from all the BS that he had when he was in Tampa. I want to see him succeed. I just don't know how much New Orleans will succeed this year. And then we go to Tampa Bay, right? Obviously, we got Tom Brady there. A lot of new acquisitions and changes there with the receiving core. Tom Brady coming back, losing Gronkowski, which was huge.
Yeah.
Not being at training camp, which I don't think that's such a big deal as people are making it seem. I mean, he's still Tom Brady. Yeah. He's still going to come back and do his thing.
He's had 23 training camps. I don't think missing one will really matter.
Here's what only thing that worries me. Again, I'm not a big Todd Bowles guy. To me, Todd Bowles is not a head coach in this league. Yep. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I will not stop saying it until he proves me wrong. He is a great defensive coordinator. I will give him that all day, every day. Great defensive coordinator. But he cannot coach a full team to save his life.
Well, it's a good thing then that Tom Brady is the head coach.
I get that. And everybody tries to throw that out there and say that Tom runs the team, that there really isn't a head coach out there, which at the end of the day, we know that's not true. He's the leader on the field. We know he does the audibles, calls the plays. We get that. But he's still running the playbook that's made for him, right? That's made by the coach and made by the coordinators and all that. But I think Atlanta is going to have a huge season this year. Call me crazy. I think Marcus Mariota is going to have a bounce back type of like comeback player of the year type season. I don't think he's going to break records or be great or anything like that, but I think he'll be very serviceable. If you heard what the head coach said and the GM, we're going to strip this place of entitlement, right? That's basically what they said.
Yeah.
That's a great thing to say when you're coming in and trying to create a brand new culture, but
has
still
Arthur
letting
Smith
people in.
Won anything though? Like I'm not sold on Arthur Smith
at
all. Like,
but there's been many coaches that come out and haven't won anything and win something their first year.
But
right?
This is my thing: is even last year, if you looked at their offenses, very one-dimensional, is very vanilla. There was no real spark to their offense that you felt like this is a team that can win in this league.
Look, I know it's only preseason, right? Mm-hmm. But just seeing the way the players have played, watching a lot of these press conferences, which I don't think people give enough credit to a lot of these press conferences and listen to what these guys are saying in the locker room. You can tell when some guys are just giving you answers to give you the media answer and get you out of their face. And then you can tell when some guys are genuinely happy in a happy place. Marcus Mariota and Kyle Pitts are very happy with each other at this moment. They are in a place that you haven't heard them talk that way when they've been interviewed in the past since they've been in the league, at least in my opinion, from what I'm seeing. Now,
Mariota,
you're about to be on the clock, so be ready.
I like Mariota. I do.
Now, I think that Mariota and Pitts are going to be crazy. And another thing that I'm going to throw out there, I think Atlanta's going to use more than one tight end. I think they'll use two or three tight end spots that they're going to use throughout the season with their offense. I think their defense is going to be a lot better than it has been in the past. So call me crazy. I think it's Atlanta, Tampa, New Orleans, and Carolina.
So you have Carolina on top, right?
Yep.
That's where you're going?
No. I got Atlanta,
Atlanta,
Tampa Bay, New Orleans, Carolina.
Okay. So this was a rough division. When you're looking through it, there are a lot of interesting matchups for their schedule. Just going based off of rosters, I have the Saints going 10-7, but I also have the Panthers going 10-7. And I actually have both of them making the playoffs. But I have the Bucs having slight regression, and I'll tell you why. They faced a lot of big D lines this year, and they already have a banged up offensive line. And I love Tom Brady. I think that he will be able to maneuver it in a way that we don't see a lot of quarterbacks be able to. But that O-line is so devastated by injuries already. I mean, they're on their third center already. Wirfs is on and off injured, and then I think their guard just got injured. So they already are seeing a lot of problems with that offensive line, which means that Tom Brady is not going to have a lot of time to just dissect the field. He's going to have a lot of those intermediate throws, and he's really good pre-snap. He's going to be able to make those throws. But I do think that the pressure is going to be a problem in a lot of games.
So what's your overall set on that division?
So I have the Saints 10-7, Panthers 10-7, Bucks 9-8, and then I have the Falcons going 2-15. Again, they have a brutal schedule.
So who do you have winning again? Sorry, because I was looking at this.
Saints winning it, Panthers making the wild card.
So hey, Chris Wynn agrees with you. He thinks that the Saints win the division. Crab legs, Winston throws more touchdowns and picks. Again, I wouldn't be mad with it. I wouldn't be. I got nothing against New Orleans at all. You know what
for
I mean?
Me,
I drafted Alvin Kamara, so obviously I want them to have a great
Winston
season.
For me, Winston is more about health. And then the other thing about the Saints, I have them winning, but that's just based off of talent. I don't have them like going to the Super Bowl like some crazy pundits have them doing. So, and the reason why is, people forget Dennis Allen does have head coaching experience both in college and NFL, and it's not great. He's like, I think he's 8, if I'm remembering the stat correctly, he's 8-28 as a head coach. So are we sure that he's going to be able to utilize the Saints talented roster the way that people are trying to say that he will?
We'll find out.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Oh yeah.
Once again, Jose V, EMB, Quan 5'9", you're tuned to Straight Bet Sports live here on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. We only have an hour, so we're doing pretty good on our time. We're about halfway in now. We got our draft going. Ian's looking at the clock right now. He's trying to see what he wants to pick. I'll give you guys a little insight on what I got so far. I got CeeDee Lamb, Alvin Kamara, George Kittle, T. Higgins, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Aaron Rodgers, Gabe Davis, and Damian Harris. That's what I got so far. Got to start picking a defense or something here shortly, but
Pierce just went in the 8th round.
Damian?
I just got Pierce.
Damian? Yeah. Okay. It's going to be interesting.
RB1 in Texas, man.
So, Ian, we still got the AFC to talk about, and we're doing really good right now. We're doing great on time. We got a lot to talk about. AFC South.
Yeah, let's move on to the AFC.
Tennessee Titans 12-5, Colts 9-8, Texans 4-13, Jaguars 3-14. We got a lot of, not too much, if anything, just one movement in Indy, right? Yeah. We got Matt Ryan moving over to Indy from Atlanta.
Titans had a lot of drop-off. A
lot of drop-off, and then we also have a quarterback controversy there, I'm going to say, because Willis looked really good, and
Willis,
some people are saying that
he might
take Tannehill's job midway through the season, so we'll see how that situation and that scenario pans out there. But I think the Jaguars and the Texans are still going to be the bottom-feeding part of this team, of this division. I know a lot of people think that the Jaguars are going to have a huge leap and that Trevor Lawrence is going to be the guy this year. I'm sorry. I just do not see it. I still think Trevor Lawrence is very talented, and he has that potential of being a great quarterback.
They need more around him because just a head coach is not going to solve a lot of the issues that they had, especially deep in the season. So you have them bottom feeding.
So yeah, I got the Texans and the Jaguars as the bottom feeding team. I'm not going to give you who's going to finish at the very bottom, but it'll be one of those two teams. Now, I think that the Colts will win this division. I honestly think that Matt Ryan coming over, getting a second opportunity, he's still staying in the dome, which I think is good for him. If you think about it, you've played half of your career, if you think about it, because of the games that you play half and half in a dome, right? So for him to be comfortable, his comfort level, I think it's going to stay, okay, I'm good. I know the turf. I know the way it is. I know I'll be on the outside sometimes. I'm okay with that. You know what I mean? I think that's one. And the team that he's getting, he's not getting a bad team. I think he's got one of the best running backs he's had behind him in a very long time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
In a very long time.
So my problem with the Colts, again, a lot of it has to do with the fact that they go up against a rough schedule 1-1. A lot of rosters that they go up against are built to kind of combat a lot of their strengths. So I have this being one of the most average divisions in the entire league this year. I think that Matt Ryan is an upgrade in the sense that they will make the playoffs, but I don't think by much. I have them at 9-8.
Oof.
I have the Titans at 8-9, so just barely missed out, right?
Wow, you got them that much of a drop off.
I do, and the reason why is more so of Harold Landry tearing his ACL and less of them losing AJ Brown, because they did add a lot of good pieces. I like Kyle Phillips. I like what I saw from Treylon Burks. They did add some really solid pieces. They get Derrick Henry back. So I think that they're not going to have, I wouldn't say they're going to be a bottom feeder, but I think they missed the playoffs this year. I think they need one more year to retool, and then they'll be back at the helm with Malik Willis, be honest. Jags, I have at 5-12. I don't see much of improvement, if any, in terms of record. I think the games are going to be better in a sense that you're going to see more development from Trevor Lawrence. I think that's the major thing this year, is seeing that development from Trevor Lawrence. That's what their goal has to be going into the season, because you know that you have a good roster, a building roster, but not a great roster.
And let me ask you a question about the Jags and Trevor Lawrence. Don't you think that the fact that Travis Etienne is healthy, if he stays healthy, I think that is huge for the production of Trevor Lawrence, right?
So I do. I think it's going to increase the level that we're going to see Trevor Lawrence at. But the problem is I really don't believe in that offensive line. I don't think that they made enough moves, especially in the draft, to address that offensive line. And I think that's going to be what kind of holds them back, that and their D-line. Yes, it got better, but it still needs a little bit more work, as well as their secondary. There's a lot of holes they have on their defensive side of the ball. And then the Texans I have going 4-13. They have a brutal year. I like Mills. I like Brandon Cooks. I like their running back, Damian Pierce.
You like Davis Mills, huh? Really?
Yeah, I do. I
long neck?
Yeah, so I don't think they're going to get a superstar. You know, they had Deshaun Watson. I don't think he's a superstar type of quarterback, but I think that he's going to play out. I think he's a solid starter in the league. I think that with development, if the Texans organization is patient with him, then he will be able to develop into a quarterback that is serviceable, at least for the time being.
So we got the Indianapolis Colts winning the division. I got the Titans coming in second as well, but I got them closer than what you say. I think they have a winning record, not a losing record. And then I'll give the Jaguars some of it. I think the Jags and the Texans will both finish with 5 wins. I agree with you, but I'll have them at the very bottom of that division. Moving on to the AFC North, we got the defending AFC champion, Cincinnati Bengals, 10-7 last year. Steelers 9-7-1. Browns 8-9. Ravens 8-9. We have a Cleveland team that traded for their guy at quarterback, and he's going to start in week one, Jacoby Brissett. But no, to be honest, the guy that they wanted, and they got obviously Deshaun Watson, going to be out for 11 games. We already know what's going to happen there. Got the big payday and all, but now Jacoby Brissett's going to be the guy. So I think that Cleveland is going to have a very, very rough start to their season. I think the first 11 games are going to be, you took a defense.
I did, me too.
I didn't
look at the clock.
So you know what? I'm going to do the same, because I was thinking about taking a defense.
I don't like that defense either.
I like the defense I took, so I'm good with that.
Let's start that run on defense, know, right? So we have other players available.
I got that later. Defense. We both got that for tomorrow. That's hilarious now. But anyways, the Bengals, we saw what they did. We know what Cleveland did to bring in Deshaun Watson, spend all that money. Jacoby Brissett will be the guy for the first 11 games. The Ravens, obviously, they still have Lamar Jackson. J.K. Dobbins not looking too healthy in training camp, which is the guy that they thought was going to be the guy.
Which is interesting, because he keeps on pushing back on that and saying, I'm healthy, I'm not limping, what do you guys want from me? But it kind of, when he responds back, it kind of comes from a weak standpoint in a sense. I think that he is struggling with his rehab process, because why go back on people that are just stating the obvious, that it does look like you have an apparent limp, and he's going hard. He's like, you know, he's getting angry at people for just stating the obvious. So it is interesting that he's that way.
So it's going to be an interesting division, because this is also a division that year in and year out can give you three teams in the playoffs, 2 to 3 teams in the playoffs, because of how tough a division it is and how close of a division it is. I think the NFC North is probably one of the best and toughest divisions in all of football. Not one of the top, if we're talking about tough divisions here. I think everybody's going to be high on the Bengals because of what they did last year, right? Going to the Super Bowl, you know, not that much on the win-loss totals. Obviously, 10-7, not such a great record, but they still won their division. I think they take a step back this year. I think that they still have a winning record, possibly make the playoffs here as a wild card. But I think the Steelers win this division. I think the fact that Mitchell Trubisky finally has a head coach, finally has a real organization around him that can coach him, right? He's never been coached, in my opinion, the way he's been coached now. I think he has an organization.
We saw some coaching with the Bills.
A little bit.
I would argue a little bit.
But I think that the type of organization where he's at now, right? The love that he's getting, the respect, the way that they're treating him, the culture, I think it's completely different. I think Pittsburgh does win this division. I think I'm not giving you numbers like you are. I'm not saying 10-7, or whatever it may be. But I think Pittsburgh wins the division. I think the Ravens come in second. Bengals come in a close third, and the Browns finish at the very bottom. I just don't see the Browns doing anything because of the absence of Deshaun Watson the first 11 games of the season. I know Jacoby Brissett is a serviceable quarterback, but I know my pick will be up. But he's not the guy.
Yeah. So it's interesting when you talk about the Browns, because if you look at their beginning of the schedule, they do have, again, kind of a rough schedule, especially for someone like Brissett. They have a solid team, but it, at the back end of their schedule, when Deshaun comes back, they actually have a more favorable schedule, and I do have them winning a bunch of games on the back end.
You're on the clock, by the way.
Oh, okay. thanks for telling me after I auto-picked last one.
I just took George Pickens, by the way. I think the kid from Pittsburgh will have a great season this year.
That's going to be my pick.
And Mitchell Trubisky teaming up together, I think that's going to be his favorite go-to guy. It was either between him or Chase. I don't think Chase can connect with Trubisky the way that Pickens has, and I think that's going to be a better pick there overall.
I think Pickens is a better receiver, to be honest.
You took James Cook, huh? Buffalo? Okay.
Yeah, I like him. I liked him in college, and I think he's going to be solid for the Bills, especially since I just think Singletary is a placeholder running back right now, and Cook will overtake him by the end of the year. So, going back onto that.
I got AFC Steelers, North. Ravens, Bengals, Browns. What you got?
Wow, so you have a major regression from the Bengals.
But I think the Bengals, here's what I'm saying. I still think they have a winning record, but I think they're going to have, I think this division is going to be a lot tougher this year.
You think they made the playoffs or no? Like wild card?
Like 50-50. They're good enough?
Okay.
Yeah.
So I have the Bengals winning. Okay. They do have a favorable matchups outside of their division. I do have them splitting with the Steelers and splitting with the Ravens and splitting with the Browns. I just think that a lot of people are downing on the Bengals just because they hadn't been there for a while, if ever, in a lot of people's mind state, because they never saw it, right? And so it's easy to say, oh, it's a fluke. But I don't think so. And I think the fact that they shored up the offensive line, I mean, they spent money and they drafted and like they really.
Which they needed help because he was one of the most sacked quarterbacks last year, especially in the playoffs.
And they shored up a little bit of that secondary as well. So I think that the Bengals addressed a lot of the concerns, the reason why they didn't win the Super Bowl last year, right? So I think the Bengals do end up winning that division at 13-4. I have the Steelers at 10-7. I do have them making the wild card. Do I have them making a wild card? I do not.
Yeah, look at your spreadsheet. I wish we could put it on the screen. This guy's got a whole crazy spreadsheet.
I'll end
insane.
Up posting it later, but
yeah,
yes.
Please post that on Twitter. No, people have to see this.
I totally will, but I actually have the Steelers losing out of the wild card spot. And it solely has to do with the
Bengals,
AFC West.
You have Bengals.
Yeah.
What do you got? Bengals?
Bengals, Steelers. I do have them at 10-7. I think that they match up well against a lot of the teams, but they are going to have the whole Mitch Trubisky, then Pickett and stuff like that. That's going to be an issue. Ravens, I have at 9-8. And then I have the Browns at 8-9.
Okay.
So I think the Ravens problem is I think JK is hurt. I don't think that he's ready. I don't think. Gus Edwards not even on the team, right?
No.
So they're going to have to rely on Lamar and Rashad Bateman and Mark Andrews, and I just don't see that being enough offensively to go up against the teams that they go up against.
Once again, Jose V, EMB, Quan 5-9. You're tuning to Straight Bet Sports live here on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. Again, if you guys are watching this or you missed any part of the show, you can find any of this. It's all archived on Straight Bet Sports YouTube page. If not, GorillaCross.com, the Gorilla Cross app, or any of the Gorilla Cross social media pages, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. Even on IG, they post everything. You can find all of the content there. Please go ahead and check it out. Don't miss anything that we've done now, in the past, or whatever it may be. We have a lot more that we want to do and a lot more coming. We're giving you our NFL preview show for the 2022 season. Right now, we're moving on to the AFC West. We'll stick it to the hometown here with the Raiders, obviously. I think they're going to make a huge jump. Last year, 10-7. Chiefs, 12-5. Chargers, 9-8. Broncos, 7-10. I think the Broncos stay at the bottom of the division. I don't think that the acquisition of Russell Wilson is going to be as big as people think. He went from, I believe, top 20 ranked player in the league to number 67 or whatever it is. He made a huge dip. And he went to a team that's got decent weapons on the offensive side of the ball compared to what he had in Seattle. So I don't know why people are giving him such a big of a drop-off, but I just don't trust Denver. I think that John Elway keeps chasing for those were guys, and he thinks that they can win just like Peyton Manning did. Yeah. It didn't work when you brought in Joe Flacco. And he was a guy that had won a Super Bowl. It didn't work when you brought him in. I don't think it's going to work with Russell Wilson. I think the Broncos finish at the bottom. I think the Raiders do take a leap. I think that they made some good moves. I think that they finally got rid of all of the trash. And you even talked about it on last week's show. Yeah. They got rid of all the Mike Mayock and John Gruden casualties and got it out of the building. They scrubbed it clean. It's no longer there. I said it years ago on KSHP when I had my show before, Sudden Death Sports, when the first season that he was here, I went down all his mock drafts that he did in the past. And I said, this guy will not succeed here. He is not a general manager.
Yeah.
You look at the moves that the Raiders have made this offseason, the way they played during the preseason, you're on the clock and then I'm next. I think the Raiders are going to be a lot better team this year. I think they'll be battling for the division with the Kansas City Chiefs. I think that the Chiefs and the Raiders, call me crazy, finish with the exact same record, but the Chiefs will take the tiebreaker. I think that's how it'll end. I think the Chargers will have a winning record, possibly make a wild card, but I still got the Broncos at the very bottom.
So I agree with you with the Broncos at the bottom, and not out of not being better. It's actually the fact of the division being so good. So I have this as the best division in football. I have the Chargers going 15-2. The two losses are the Chiefs and the Broncos. They split. The Chiefs 12-5. And then I have the Raiders at 11-6. And then I have the Broncos at 11-6. And I have the Chiefs and the Raiders making wild card spots.
Wow, so you got the Broncos winning the division?
No, I have the Chargers, sorry, the Chargers at 15-2. Yep.
What the?
So this is the thing. If you actually look at the offseason additions, all these teams made them, right? Except the Chiefs, they lost some, but they addressed a lot of the concern in the draft. The Chargers were the ones that made the biggest splashes on the defensive side of the ball. So they're the ones, in terms of matchups, are going to be able, in my opinion, be able to handle the offensive firepower that all of these other teams gained.
Okay.
So that's why I have the Chargers, is because they got a linebacker, they got J.C. Jackson, Asante Samuel hopefully won't have concussion issues this year. Derwin James is coming back, so they have a very solid secondary. That back seven is going to be nasty, so I like it, man.
Okay. Chargers it is for you. Raiders and Chiefs for me, with the Chiefs taking the tiebreaker. Now we'll move on to the greatest division. No, I'm just kidding. This is one of the worst. We already know who wins it pretty much every year, but I don't think it'll be like that this year. Obviously, the New England Patriots last year in the AFC East, like I said, we're coasting, right? With a rookie quarterback looking really good, with Mac Jones doing their thing. I'm not going to lie, I was a fan of the Patriots last year. And what I mean by that, a fan of how they were playing, what they were doing, how they were winning these games, right? But Buffalo was right there with them as well. Mm-hmm. I know I've been critical, and I talk a lot of crap about Josh Allen, and I say that he's a participation trophy quarterback, you know, enjoy him while you can. He's going to be another Jim Kelly. Never going to win you anything, right? No disrespect to Jim. I don't think anyone will ever go to four straight Super Bowls again. I don't think it'll ever happen. But when we're going to this division, again, the Jets, bottom feeder. We'll be at the very bottom. I think we'll win five games, which will be one more than we won last year. I think we'll go 5-12. We went 4-13 last season. I think the Dolphins win maybe one more game than they did last year. I think they finished 10-7. I don't think that the Dolphins are as great as people think. Again, I'm not sold on Tua. Yeah. I never have been. I never will be. He is not an NFL quarterback. He wasn't the best quarterback coming out of college like everybody thought. All he did was win that one national championship. He never progressed after that. He went backwards. People, if we're being honest, and you watch football, you know that, you see it. And not only that, he's injury prone. Yes, I'm on the clock. I got 37 seconds. I'm going to go ahead and take the running back from Philly, Gainwell, because I need another running back, so why not? But moving back to the AFC East, Jets will finish at the bottom. I don't see them moving up. Dolphins, 10-7. I think they will finish third again. I think the Patriots finish at 10-7 once again. I don't think they win more than 10 games. I think last year it was favorable because of their schedule. If we're being honest, the schedule they had was very favorable and helped them out a lot to be able to get to as many wins and be in contention to take that division last year. I think Buffalo wins it again, but here's the thing, and I have a bet with a buddy of mine, John. What's up, my guy? I know you're watching. He's always watching on Twitter. I took his money before on Tampa Bay when we were during the Stanley Cup final, during the Stanley Cup playoffs. So we wanted to make another bet. The over and under for the Buffalo Bills this year is 11.5, or at least that it was when we bet it.
Yeah.
I said Buffalo will not win more than 11 games. So I'm sticking to my guns. I think they finish either 10-7, right? Or 11-6, the same thing they finished last year.
So you have that division drastically underperforming.
Drastically.
Okay.
Yes.
So I have the Bills at 13-4. I like what they've done. I think the addition of James Cook helps out that running game that they so desperately need. And so I have them at 13-4. I have the Dolphins at 12-5. I don't think that they're going to be as good as people are trying to make them out to be, because I do think that they have a lot of concerns, especially on the defensive line for the Dolphins. But the Jets, I have going 3-14. Yeah. And then the Patriots, I actually have the Patriots having a really, really bad year and going 5-12 at the bottom. So,
whoa, you got them going backwards like crazy.
Yes, I have them going 5-12. They have a really rough schedule. They play a lot of playoff contention, especially at the beginning of the year. And I just think that they didn't do anything to improve. I think they lost a lot, and they didn't necessarily fill those positions. So,
all right, there we go, man. We are done. Got it right on the wire. We still got a little over 10 minutes to give you our picks and talk about that segment and everything we're going to do there. But again, if you missed any portion of the show and you want to go back and get all of the stuff that we said and who we think is going to be the division winners, go back and check it out. You definitely will not be disappointed, because it's good to get insight from all points of views. You might disagree with me, you might disagree with Ian, or vice versa. It's good. It's going to help you, and it's going to get more in your mind on what you're thinking when it comes to, how am I going to bet this? Am I going to bet anything? Or if you're not going to bet, just to get insight on, maybe you agree with some of the picks that we're giving out. Maybe you're like, man, these guys are spot on. That's what I was thinking. Who knows, man? It is what it is now.
I have the Chargers winning the Super Bowl, by the way.
This guy doesn't even let me finish and get to the freaking things here. Golly. So that's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
AFC, who do you have going to the Super Bowl? NFC, who do you got real quick?
So I have the Chargers versus the Rams.
Okay.
And then I have the Chargers end up winning.
Now, you got the Chargers versus the Rams.
Yeah. Okay. Now, the Rams is interesting because there's many different scenarios. I have the wild card round being one of the more interesting rounds, and it's a lot of the games that will dictate who goes to the Super Bowl on that side are going. I think they're going to be very close games that weekend.
Okay.
If it goes down like this. So.
All right. So you have, who do you have total?
What do you mean?
Give me your NFC.
Okay.
Once again. Say it one more time.
So NFC seeding, I have the Rams 1-2, Vikings 3, Eagles, Saints 4, 49ers wild card spot at
5. Damn, you
5,
got it all set up like that.
Green Bay at 6, and then the Panthers at 7.
Primo Eddie says, what is Ian drinking today? Hey, that's the best part about this show, man.
I'm on
your
vacation.
Some of it is crazy. This guy's been on vacation sending me spreadsheets throughout the night. It's insane. But I'm going to throw some wrenches out there, and I'm going to throw some crazy stuff.
Okay.
And I'm going to bet this too, so I'm letting you guys know. If you haven't bet it, take an opportunity on it. Pittsburgh Steelers go to the Super Bowl in the AFC.
Wow.
Okay, that's one.
Wow.
And I got the Cowboys in the NFC going to the Super Bowl.
Who's the quarterback? Who's the quarterback?
What year is that going
to
be?
Yeah, exactly.
So we're going to have a rematch.
Trubisky is bringing them to the Super
Bowl,
or what?
We're going to have a rematch,
uh-huh,
of the Cowboys and the Steelers. If you guys remember, Neil O'Donnell.
Oh, man.
You know
you're
what I mean?
Betting
Troy Aikman.
This is where you're betting?
Barry Switzer was the coach that took over for the team that was already set after Jimmy Johnson got the boot in Dallas. But I don't know. Just call me crazy.
Just give it to me. I mean, if you're
throwing
away
stuff.
Money,
I'm
man.
I'm the guy that says crazy stuff on this show. You know that. I say stuff that people are going to go, Jose has no idea what he's talking about. Why is he even speaking? What is he saying?
That's why.
But
I'm
hey, if
today's
it ends
episode
up,
of Straight Bet Sports is sponsored by crack cocaine.
If it ends up happening, it ends up happening. Okay. Now, I think the Cowboys win the Super Bowl this year. Call me crazy. I'm jumping on that bandwagon.
He's just doing this to hurt me.
I'm not doing that to hurt anybody, uh-huh, or anybody's feelings. Mm-hmm. But that's what I got. I think it's Dallas in the NFC. I think it's Pittsburgh in the AFC.
Not even in the playoffs.
No.
And I think the Dallas Cowboys win the Super Bowl. Call me crazy, but we're going to cut this, show it, and put it out there for everybody can see. And if it happens, it happens. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. Now, every single week moving forward, we're going to do our new pick segment. We're going to give you our Straight Bet Sports pick of the week for the NFL. We're going to be giving you either a total or a side on a game. Now, again, we want to give a big shout out to our guy, Eric Navarro from Line 'Em Up by Eric. He is sponsoring this segment, and he will be sponsoring the segment for the remainder of the NFL season here. If you guys don't already know, Line 'Em Up by Eric Navarro, 702-884-8138. Check him out on IG, Line 'Em Up by Eric. Download the Booksy app today and book your appointment. if you need a haircut, if you need a beard trim, whatever it is that you need, a lineup, a cleanup, even if it's last minute, sometimes Eric will get you in, man. Hit him up. Let him know Jose V, EMB from Straight Bet Sports sent you, and he'll definitely make sure to get you right and get you going for the weekend, for the job interview, whatever it may be. But this is our official pick segment. First week that we do this. And Ian, we decided to stick to the games that we have going on tomorrow, right?
Yes.
We said, why not? Week one, let's not move into the Sunday games. Now, the one thing I'm going to tell you guys, because there's going to be a lot of people going, oh, you're crazy, or oh, you suck, you don't know how to pick. Remember, guys, we're picking these games ATS on a Wednesday.
Yep.
Early money, okay? We're not even looking at money that's going to come in hours before the game on Sunday.
Yeah.
If we pick a Sunday game. We're picking one tomorrow to make it a little bit easier. So the money, the movement, the transition is a lot more smooth, right? So keep that in mind, everybody. We're picking games on a Wednesday. If you guys follow Gaming Today and what the bookies do and Battle of the Bookies, they're giving in their picks Tuesday night. Tuesday night already they're giving in their picks. The line movement can change completely within that 1 week. Think about that. So whatever we're given, we're going based off of scores and odds. That's what I use every year. So I'm letting you know, Ian, right now so you can have it. We're going to go based off of the odds that scores and odds had as of today. And that's what we're going to pick. Okay. So, Ian, I'll let you go first.
Okay.
We have Buffalo visiting the LA Rams tomorrow in LA. SoFi Stadium. We have the Bills coming in at a -2.5 favorite at some books here in Vegas. Some books have it at -2. We'll go with the more odds-on favorite, which I see 2 out of 3, 2.5.
Yeah.
So we got the Bills at -2.5. Over and under is at 52, solid across the board. No hook, no nothing. I'm looking at 52 favorite to the over, and I'm looking at fairly even on the ATS and the money line for the Bills and the Rams. So no crazy movement here where people are pounding or thinking that one team is going to beat the other. So I'll let you go first. What's your pick of the week, starting with tomorrow's game?
So I think Bills take that, especially I think it's -2.5, like you said. So Bills, I think they beat the Rams, especially if Matt Stafford actually is having elbow issues. If that's the case, I actually like the under there. I think both of those teams have really good defenses, and I think that the offensive power that we believe those two teams will have is going to take a little bit of slow start. I have the under there, 52.5, you said?
You got under 52.5?
Yeah, I have the under there, and I have the Bills covering.
So, no, what's your pick? You can't do two. You got to choose one.
Oh,
what's
your pick Bills of the cover. I think Bills covering is a little bit better than the under. So, that's my pick, Bills.
But, see, that kind of sucks because I'm not going to take the Rams. I don't trust the Rams coming into this game with what's going on with Matthew Stafford. So I know that with the picks of the week segment, we basically want to go against each other as much as possible, right? But if we're being honest with you, I can't go against you on this one. I just can't. And to be fair, this is the only time we're only going to have one game slate to pick from, right? So this is going to be the only time that we're probably going to agree on something this season. So I'm going to agree with Ian. Give me the -2.5. This will be the only time we do this because next week we'll have crazy slate to choose from and go from. I think the Bills go in there, even though I said the Bills won't win more than 11 games. I get that, and I'm on the clock one more time. Ay, what do I pick here, guys? I need something, right? I need to get something else, but let's see. That's a good song. I know, guys, this is weird. We're doing a draft and everything at the same time, but I'll take this. I'll take an opportunity on this guy. But I'm going to take Buffalo -2.5. 56% of the money ATS is on Buffalo. Money line 62%. So like I said, fairly even on both sides. Again, it's early. I just think Buffalo is going to come out with more firepower. I think Buffalo has a lot more to prove. I don't think LA has anything to prove, right? I honestly don't. They're the defending champion. They got their Super Bowl. Matthew Stafford is going to come out and do his thing. But how healthy is he? It's yet to be seen. I don't think he's that healthy from what I've seen with the videos and everything going on with that elbow. It looks bad if you ask me. I don't think it's going to be an annihilation game. I don't think Buffalo comes out and kills them by any stretch. But the one thing that I will say, watch out for Gabe Davis this year. Watch out for him. I think that a lot of people are going to be sleeping on him. I think a lot of people are going to be thinking that Stephon's going to have the bigger season. I think Davis is going to be the guy in Buffalo this year over Stephon Diggs. But again, that's just my opinion. Don't take it to the bank. Keep it. Do what you want with it. But Ian, you and I are in agreement. -2.5 with Buffalo. You threw in a little extra spice, the under 52. I got no opinion on the total. The one thing that I will say, I will be betting this game live. I'm a live bettor, an in-game wager, if you want to call me that. I think it has a lot of value for that tomorrow, especially it being week one. I wouldn't bet it ahead of time. I think it's better to do in game because you're going to see how sloppy, how slow, or how fast these teams come out and what they actually have. Maybe a halftime bet, maybe a bet after the first quarter, who knows? But I think it'll be an interesting and fun game to watch. Fun slate this Sunday. Even though the Aces will be playing the WNBA Finals at 3 p.m., you can still catch some football there, catch the early games. Afternoon games will be close to the end of the stretch there of ending, so you can still catch the WNBA Finals and root on your Las Vegas Aces here. But, man, we had a great show today. We finished it up. Big shout-out to Eric Navarro for jumping back on us as a sponsor here on Straight Bet Sports. Again, if you missed any part of the show, just search us on the web, Straight Bet Sports, Gorilla Cross Radio, EMB, Jose V, on any social media platform. You can find everything. We retweet, we share, we put it all out there just for you guys. We greatly appreciate you guys joining in and tapping in today. Primo Eddie, Quan says he got the Bills winning. And then Jose got stabbed in the leg with a needle from the homeless guy in the alley behind. What the?
With your Super Bowl pick.
I know. That's why I'm laughing. But it's all right. You know, we'll see if it happens.
I'm actually taking a future
on the Steelers to win the Super Bowl. I think there's value in there. Call me crazy. I think it might happen. But
I thought you said Cowboys won.
But I on our picks, I had the Cowboys winning it. But I said I'm taking a future bet on the Steelers because of the value. Okay. Think about it. It's a big difference in what I said. But Ian, finish it up, man. What you got? Final thoughts.
Just make sure you guys are following us. Retweet. Subscribe. EMB underscore sports. Straight Bet Sports. Gorilla Cross Radio. Jose underscore Vellante. And we'll be here every week, Wednesday, 4 p.m. We're going to be making sure that we get you guys some money. So tune in every week, and we'll have our hot picks for you.
And again, I'll say it again. I'm not a handicapper. Neither is Ian. I'm just a guy that used to work in a sports book that does his homework and from time to time hits tickets and makes money. That's all it is. I've never considered myself to be a professional handicapper or a handicapper at all. I just like to bet. I like to have fun, man. But big shout out to my guy, Sosa, the locksmith from the Wise Guys Diamond Club, doing the Sosa World Fantasy League today. We're on it. It's a free league. But it's a payout league, which is pretty cool. We're going to get paid if you win in some of these divisions here, so it should be fun. And we're also in a paid league with him, which the draft is an hour after this show today. So running through these drafts, man, and going through everything. But fun show. We greatly appreciate everyone that's a part of it. Big shout-out to the UNLV Rebels football team. They're on the road in Cal this weekend. Can they go out there and get the W and finish 2-0? We shall see. Spoke to Caleb Herring the other day. He's going to come on the show again, which is pretty cool. Haven't had Caleb on the show in a while, if you guys know him, last UNLV quarterback to take them to a bowl game. He is now the play-by-play announcer for the UNLV Rebels. Pretty sweet there, man.
Richardson is overrated.
Richardson is overrated.
Anthony Richardson, yeah.
All right.
Everyone's getting on that overhyped train, man.
And I think Ricky White is a beast for the UNLV Rebels. But, man, once again, thank you guys so much for tuning in today. For Quan 5'9", Jose V, EMB, Eric Navarro, and everyone that is a part of the show, we greatly appreciate you guys. Till next week. Same time, same bat channel. We're out. Peace.